Following special episode is brought to you by Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to the special episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast. Many of our listeners have been asking if we could release Melissa Etheridge's interview on its own. And of course, we are super happy to say yes. You guys have been amazing to us, listening week after week to our show. So what we're going to do with this particular special episode is give you that particular interview in its entirety without the dish or any other segments that we incorporate on our normal show. So we're going to kick off this episode by playing Pulse by Melissa Etheridge, which is the artist that you're going to hear in the interview. And hopefully you guys will enjoy this episode. It's very short. It won't take you long to get through this episode, but definitely make sure to tune in next week. As you know, we release a weekly podcast every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which you can access on our website or by visiting digitalstreamradio.com and listening live via our live stream feature. Thank you so much for tuning in, and here's the show.
Everybody's got a pain inside, imaginary wounds they fight to hide. How can I hate them? When everybody's got a pulse, I dream in a world that wants my soul. It tells me if I hate, I can control. But I don't believe it, I cannot conceive it, 'cause everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Again, I hang my head to cry. I can't find the reason why they died. We will find the answer blowing in the wind. But everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now when there's no one left but you? Who are you gonna gun down if you can't kill the truth that's inside of us? It's inside our blood, it's inside our pulse. I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse.
Everybody's got a pulse.
I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. I'm
Everybody's got a pulse.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back from the break. That was Loud by Davis Mallory and Pulse by the artist that we welcome back today on the show, the incredible Melissa Etheridge. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you so much.
We are super excited to have you back on the show. It's been a year since you last joined us and we're super excited. So what's going on?
I'm in Texas right now. I'm on tour. doing my summer tour.
That's awesome. So you've been touring around. You were actually not too long ago. You were in New Haven,
and we couldn't get there.
I know, it's so sad.
What?
I had a knee injury.
I'll let you off this time. All right.
No, I work in theater, so I couldn't. We were in tech, and I couldn't get out.
All right. We had a good time. We missed you.
Well, I heard you had a fantastic show. There was a lot of people that locally that went to see you, and they were like, she was amazing as always. And so thank you for visiting New Haven.
Oh, it was always a pleasure. I've played New Haven forever. I love that place.
That's great. So you've done Toads. You just did the college Street Music Hall. Mm-hmm. And so you're currently on tour, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So when do you wrap up this current tour?
This one, pretty much the end of August. It's just the summer tour, and I have a couple of gigs in September, but it's pretty much done in August.
Where are you playing in Texas now?
Oh, I'm in San Antonio.
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful San Antonio. So if our listeners are out there, she's out there. Make sure you check her out. You can go to melissaetheridge.com, right?
Yeah, you can see all the dates there. I'm playing everywhere.
That's fantastic. So what's been going on? It's been a year. What have you been doing with yourself?
Well, my latest album came out. It's called Memphis Rock and Soul, and that really fun. It was it's a kind of a cover album of Stax tunes, and I've been playing that, mixing it in with the regular shows, and then just the whole year long that came out at the end of the year. So I've been touring a lot this whole year, and being at home with my family. Those are the two things that I do, is my music and my family.
That's fantastic.
So this is Nick, and I just want to let you know, I don't know if you've been following our show at all, but once we interviewed you and we had heard your song Pulse, we decided to we created a segment around your song, and around the 49 fallen victims at Orlando, and we basically for 49 episodes we dedicated one we dedicated the episode to a fallen person from Pulse, and we played your song under it, and it took us into break, and it was just such a beautiful piece, and I just want to thank you for writing it and let you know that that's what we've been using your music for, just to support the community.
Oh, yeah.
And it brought so much comfort to people. I know I've mentioned on the show, this is Chris, so happy that you're back on with us again.
No, thanks.
We've mentioned on the show before, but like your song helped bring someone home driving from the northern Midwest, I believe, going to Orlando the day after it happened. And so many people have been sending us emails how it was such an uplifting thing to bring the community back together and always inspire hope in us. And you helped us all get there.
Oh, that means so much to me, because at that moment, like we all felt that day when we woke up and saw this tragedy, it just brought us to our knees, because it's like, come on, haven't we suffered enough, and just to, I picked up my guitar just because that's what makes me feel better. And as I was trying to work out my own feelings and angers and frustrations that I was having, I then created the song, and to know that it has helped our community really just stand back up and go, nope, it's about love. I don't care. I do care, but it's about love and how you can't stop us from loving. That's impossible. And just, I love my community, and I love that I could do something to help.
On tour, do you sing, do you perform Pulse on your tour at all?
Sometimes. It depends on the show and the place and the time. That right after it for that whole summer and And the whole year of 2016, I played it every night. And now I will, it really depends on the place in the show and what I'm doing. Like I did a show with a youth orchestra in Cleveland. It was the Contemporary Youth Orchestra. And, you know, a lot of those kids were LGBT, and it just was a really moving moment to perform that song with, you know, 150 teenagers. And so, you know, that's a real, that's when I feel like it can make a real difference.
Do you feel like when you play that song, you get a really powerful response from the audiences?
Oh yeah, totally. That's one of the, I kind of have to be responsible for it. I don't want to lay people out too hard. And so, if people are in that space where we can really transform some of this energy to a positive, effect, then I'll really perform the song, because yes, it does have a big effect.
That is amazing. So let me ask you. So we just wrapped up the month of June. We just wrapped it up. We're going into July, and so we're still having a couple of LGBT Pride festivals going. Have you participated in any festivals throughout the past month?
I have been in the opposite. I either show up the day after Brian or something. Yeah, I was just in Houston, and they just had their Pride, and it's, I haven't been involved in any of them, but I certainly have felt them and been watching, and it's a special year for us to stand up and say, yeah, we're still here.
Absolutely. I mean, with the National Pride March that we attended as well, and having the first ever televised LGBT Pride March in New York City on a national network, I think that it speaks volumes of what we have done as a community. And did you watch the telebroadcast of the Pride Parade in New York?
I did not watch it live, but I definitely saw so many clips from it, and I'm just... I do. I love seeing us. I love seeing a lot of the corporate world jumping in and saying, "Yep, we're here. We're with you." I really think it's a great step for us.
It must be amazing for you. I mean, I remember you telling us a little bit about your coming out story, but going from before you came out to now and seeing just the change in the community and how everything is a little bit better for everybody, but with this current administration, not so much. But it must be a trip.
Yeah, it's great. It's really cool because yes, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and you know, it has always been the understanding of our community that there were more of us like this that kept all of us alive, you know, and the ways that we slowly got, you know, that information from, I remember in high school seeing the cover of Time magazine and had two men holding hands, and I was like, oh my God, you know, that's me. And then, you know, we had our clubs that we would always meet and, you know, in bars and the word of mouth. And then to see how we have come out from those dark closets, those corners, and, you know, been living, contributing citizens to the world and to, you know, to all of our communities and going, see, we are a good percentage of every single culture and community you have. And it's just, I love seeing now that even with the trouble we're having with our current administration, even then, that it does not, we do not take a step back, that all that work that so many of us have done to get our rights, to finally have the Supreme Court say, yep, no, marriage equality, that is now the standard, and we're going to hold that line.
That's because nothing pushes you back. When people are pushing you back, nothing's going to hold you back. That's when we push even harder, when someone's trying to keep us back.
So let me ask you a question, Melissa. As you noted, this current administration is doing a lot of things that are pushing back against the LGBT community. But recently, President Trump rescinded somewhat, in part, a lot of the embargoes that we had on Cuba. And, you know, he's now preventing certain citizens that are not in a specific capacity from going to Cuba. You had a concert. You were doing an event in Cuba, and it was canceled. Did it have anything to do with that at all?
I don't know. I swear to you, I don't know why. This is what I know. There was a company that did this artist exchange, this cultural exchange with Cuba. They had done it. They were putting this thing together. There was myself and two other musicians, and Rufus Wainwright was one of them.
Oh God!
Yeah,
I love this man.
Yeah, it was Rufus, Ben Folds, and myself, and we were headed down there. And the Cuban government looked at our stuff and blah blah blah. And they're like, "Yes, let's go." And I, at that time, was like, "Look at Cuba go! They're being all LGBT friendly, and this is great, you know." And I was all for it. And then about a month before I was, we sold tickets, we did the whole thing. And about a month before I was to go, my management had like, "Melissa, it seems that some other part of the Cuban government has asked to see all the visa, all the people coming. They wanted to go through the vetting process again." And at the end of that, Rufus and Ben could go, but I could not. And oh. And they did not give me, I don't know whether it's my cannabis activism. I have no idea. They just said, they said, "No, it's not that. You can come later. We're just not prepared for you." And I don't know what that means.
Did Rufus and Ben Folds still go?
Oh, I think so. You know, well, you know what? I don't know. I did. I just kind of, my feelings were hurt. So I didn't look.
You know, I'm kind of bummed because I could have totally seen a collaboration between you and Rufus singing.
Oh, I know.
That would have
come
been
on.
Epic.
It would have been, Cuba, how great would that have been?
It would have been epic. You know, I mean, but Cuba has had a history of shunning American artists. They did it to their very own Celia Cruz back when she left the country. She wanted to go back, and they forced her to do a show from Guantanamo. They didn't even let her go into the country. So I could see why, you know, it was heartbreaking for her back then because, you know, she wanted to see her people, and she wasn't allowed. She had to literally go and perform in front of a fence. To her fans in her own country because she was not allowed. And you know, I don't want to make assumptions, and I know that you don't either, but they have never been advocates of the LGBT community. And, you know, reading a lot of reports of what comes out of that island, a lot of the community there is ostracized and marginalized and put down. And so, you know, I hope that for the sake of progression, that wasn't the reason why they didn't allow you, such an artist as yourself, to go in and express your music and your love. And true tragedy.
I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe someday someone could tell me.
That's heartbreaking to hear, but you know, now we have a little bit of an understanding as to why. Because, you know, I was looking forward to reading a lot of the reviews of how you were going to be received in Cuba, because you know, a lot of things are happening, and they're happening so fast.
So
tell us about your cabinet, your cannabis movement.
My cannabis cabinet.
Your
my
activism.
Cannabis
yes.
cabinet.
Yeah, where's
I
your cannabis
one.
Cabinet? Yeah, yes, I want to know. Yes. I want to know where the cabinet is.
Because I mean, the last time, you know, you spoke of herbs. You had the other one over here offering you tea, and
Well, you can make tea out of it too.
You can. Yes, you can. I think it is one. It is a very modern movement, and it's not just about cannabis. It's about us taking our health back and not falling into this trap of pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. And cannabis has been around for thousands and thousands of years, and it's proven, and it has been used in cultures and societies. It has been used as topicals. It has been used as medicine for so long. And this idea that it is criminal to explore our own consciousness, that's a whole nother civil rights issue, I believe. So plant medicine, cannabis is sort of the lead bird in the V of this, of the new wellness movement that is supported by plant medicine. And I believe strongly, and I see states all over there's over half the states in America have medicinal cannabis laws. And what is it now? 5 states are legal, and here we go.
Our most recent one was Massachusetts.
Massachusetts was the most recent. And us here in Connecticut, we've been on the medical level for a while now. It's been decriminalized. I like to think that we might be one of the next upcoming states to completely legalize it, because it's like you said, with, you know, with the FDA and all these other drugs out there, when you see these commercials, when they're like, side effects, maybe suicide, death. Loss of all of your blood, death, your mother's death. Like, it's the, but where cannabis has zero to no side effects. It's just pure holistic medicine that was given us from the earth, not with a scientist and beakers.
Right. And on top of that,
go ahead. I can talk about it all day. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, like, it proved so positive in Colorado. I mean, their economy is booming because of the sale of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Huge surplus of money.
Economy, the taxes, opioid use is down in every state where cannabis is available. Opioid use is down. So this is big.
I mean, and one of the positive side effects of cannabis is having an artist like you, you know, just come out with such amazing work. And I'm sure that has some sort of inspiration, you know, to it. It adds some sort of.
Absolutely. And that's that's another thing. Why should we live in this problem solving consciousness all the time where it's coffee and cigarettes, and I got to go to work, and I got to, and I got to keep me up, where we need the other side. We need the right side of our brain, the intuition, the music, the art, and cannabis is a part of that. And we should not be ashamed of that.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing. So let me ask you another question completely unrelated to this. How's family nowadays?
Oh my gosh. I'm crazy about my family. That's probably the biggest surprise of my life. I mean, when I was growing up, I was a gay rock star, and children just weren't a part of the whole scene for me. And then the world changed, and now I have 4 children, and my oldest is attending Columbia University, New York. I'm so proud of her. You will hear from her soon. She's a political activist. She has all that part of me without the music. She's just
takes on.
I remember when
amazing.
You first announced that you were gonna conceive, and then the issue of Rolling Stone came out, and you and your wife and your kids, it was just a beautiful thing. And to think that now you have a daughter going to Columbia University.
I know.
One of Bette Midler's favorite lines, and I quote this all the time because I absolutely love it. She always says, "Time flies when you're on Prozac." And I love it. She's genius, comedic genius, that woman, you know?
Oh, I love her so
That's
much.
Wonderful to hear. I'm very happy for you and your family, and that, you know, they're following in mama's footsteps and being active individuals and playing important roles in our communities.
Yeah, they really are. It's funny because they grow up in such a gay world that they don't understand at all what anybody has any problem with it, you know? And it's funny seeing that and that the children nowadays really don't. I mean, none of my children were ever bullied or thought strange of because of who their parents were. But at the most, it was kids going, "Wow, I wish I had 2 moms, you know, that would be cool."
That's amazing. So, and do you find that your music reflects your life at home at times as well?
Oh yeah, I'm always right. I'm the type of artist that just really writes from my heart and what personally I'm going through. And so you're going to find more. You know, I'm not going to write the broken heart songs anymore because I'm not broken hearted, but I am looking out in the world, and sometimes the world breaks my heart. So you are going to you're going to see. Just, I'm an older artist. These are what I see through my eyes. And yes, my family has a big impact on my music.
So let me ask you, I'm sure that you wrote a lullaby for one of your children. Can you tell us a little bit about one?
Well, let's see. The songs that I've written for my children, there's one on my breakdown album called Truth of the Heart. There was one that I wrote for it's a real obscure title called A Truthful Lullaby, and that was on a Joan Armatrading album. And then recently I wrote a song called Gently We Row, and that was for my oldest daughter, and that was on the Fearless Love album. I actually sing to my children to put them to sleep at night. I sing kind of these old songs that my mother sang to me that I think she kind of made up because I've never heard them anywhere else.
Well, good for her.
So would it be too much if we asked you to sing just a little line of one of those songs?
Oh, no, that's not too much. Let me see. This is the one that I think it has some... I think it belongs somewhere. My mother grew up in the South, and I think it's a Southern kind of lullaby, but I think she kind of made up the melody and some of the words, kind of made it up. But I have since it's one of my favorite. I think it's called All the Pretty Horses, but this is what I sing to my kids. Are you ready?
Yes, we're ready.
Okay. Mama's gonna buy you pretty little horses, hitched to your little wagon. When you wake, you shall have cake and all those pretty little horses, black and a gray, a roan and a bay, all those pretty little horses.
Wow.
That's so cute.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So to our listeners...
I wouldn't be able to fall asleep. I'd be like, another one, Mom, another one.
Mom, see me pulse. Actually, Mom, see me pulse.
Oh, no, you have no idea. My daughter, she loves that song, Pulse. And I'm like, honey, Mama will cry if she sings that song. I'm sorry.
Well, it is an absolute beautiful song. And again, thank you so much for writing it, because you have literally given our community something to listen to that can make them really put into perspective what happened and also find within themselves a way of dealing with that in some way, shape, or form.
I have one more quick question for you. I don't actually know if it's that quick, but I'm going to ask it. And we're going from heartfelt to a little different. But so on the show here, we talk a lot about what's going on politically. And I just wanted to get your personal opinion of what's going on in the White House and what the community should be prepared for and what you think the community should do and stand up. And how
to that is not a short answer, but I will tell you what I believe and what I think. I have met Donald Trump twice. One was at a Time 100 thing where I met a lot of crazy famous people, and the other one was at a gay wedding in New York City. I don't think that man has anything against gays in his heart at all. I think what we are seeing is, and I preface it with saying, and it's the end of this because it's the ultimate end of the idea of the rich white guy that it was born into money and that money rules everything. And the rich white guy knows better than anyone else. So he should be in charge. And there was a real belief of that and a real strong, okay, he's that sort of that father figure is going to come in and punish everybody and take care of this. And it's actually the ultimate of us versus them. And he ran on that. He said, they are the ones why you are in pain. They're the reason you have this problem. And a lot of America believed him. And with all the advances that we have made in the last 20 years, not just the LGBT community, but different ethnicities and races and religions and the beauty of this American experiment of can we all live together in freedom? The whole experiment that our forefathers came up with is this radical, radical idea that there can be a place where people can go and be free and be judged on the content of their character. And we have since then, over 200 years, been moving toward this, you know, utopian idea of everyone living together. We are experiencing the contrast of that because we are moving toward that. And this fear, what we saw raise up in 2016, the fear of the other that's being fanned by, you know, by the Trump, that Trump, it's not just them. They just caught a wave of it and used it for their good. But you see, and it's going all around the world, and the world is getting smaller. And so I would say to my community, I would say, be be encouraged by this, that these are, I've always said, it's when it gets bad, it means that we're really moving ahead. It really means that we must be doing well, because people are really starting to complain. So this generation, we all will grow older. Everyone will experience what this life is, and that we can live in this diversity. And LGBT is just a wonderful part of this this gorgeous American quilt. And I say, keep being who you are. Keep shining your light. That is what will change the world right there. You become the change. You will see the change.
That is absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
So, Melissa, before we let you go, is there something that you could say to our listeners, to our community, aside from that? Little words of encouragement from someone who's been in our community for so many years?
I would say, do not be tempted to blame outside for anything. I would say the best thing you could do is to understand that life is full of contrast, and there's going to be ups and downs. And the whole meaning is to create your life with all of this contrast. And I would say you are a beautiful, perfect human being. Nothing wrong with you. There is no such thing as a normal human being. We are all so different. And the more you accept and integrate and become yourself, the more you will do for your community. That's the best thing. Yes, we can go and say we are fighting against, but we must understand that the best thing we can do is just be who we are and be happy at it, because then what are people going to say, you know, because we're happy.
That's I keep saying. Be visible. Yep. Be out there. Be you.
Yep.
Well, Melissa Etheridge, thank you so much for joining us on today's show. It has been an absolute pleasure.
God, please, we love you.
We do. We were looking forward to your energy.
Listen.
Well, I love you all.
You have an open invitation. You have an open invitation to our show anytime. You know, whenever you want to talk to us, we're more than willing to hear what you've got to say. You're amazing. We love you. We can't. I can't even say anything at this point. Just thank you.
And I'll get yelled at if I don't say this. Melissa, my boyfriend Ray says hi.
Hi, Ray. There you go. Well, I love you guys. You guys keep up the good work, and I'll talk to you again, okay?
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish. Bounce, bounce.